Back here at halftime in Alumni Gym, Monmouth trails Ryder 37-20 at halftime. And we'll intro halftime by giving our guest a little publicity. And we want to remind you that for all things Jersey Shore, please subscribe to the Asbury Park Press by visiting app.com/subscribe. As joining both Steve and myself at halftime is our good friend Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press. Made the 45-minute or so trip due west. Josh, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
So far, so good, at least. Steve and I, safe trip out, but not a good first 20 minutes if you're a Monmouth fan. As Steve and I talked about during the first half, Ryder looks, and Steve, I'm going to steal your words, a step faster. They just look to be getting to the basketball a little quicker, and that's why they have a 17-point lead. Your thoughts on the first 20 minutes?
You actually just stole all my words. I mean, when Monmouth came out here, I don't think we've seen them look this poorly out of the gate in quite a while. You know, as you guys just said, they looked a step slow, lethargic. I thought that Ryder did a nice job of looking for their shot from the perimeter. They're one of the top three-point shooting teams in the nation. They were aggressive getting to the tin. They're just, you know, very simply, they're outplaying Monmouth right now very badly.
They're shooting 44%, almost 45%. And the leading scorer right now, Daniel Stewart, with 14 points on 5 of 7 shooting. MU paced by Andrew Nicholas, who has 5 points. Not a pretty offensive half for MU, who shoots 33.3%. And the guys, a real alarming stat, Monmouth 8 turnovers, and Ryder's turned those into 10 points compared to just 2 that MU's been able to convert after Ryder's 7 turnovers. And Steve, I know we talked about it in the first half. The Hawks right now in the standings are right behind Ryder, but you can't tell with the Bronx leading by 17.
Yeah, Ryder looks to be a much better team, especially this afternoon. The Hawks are going to have to find some rhythm offensively, and they got to get stops too. Earlier on in the game, Ryder missed 16 of their shots. At halftime right now, Ryder has missed 16 shots. They've gotten 8 offensive rebounds, so they've gotten half of their misses, and that's too many. You know, Monmouth is not doing a good job boxing out. Hudiger really struggled down low against Fortinot. And like Josh said too, Ryder is just out-hustling Monmouth to every loose ball. They are a step quicker, and the Hawks have to find it in this half.
And before we look at the max scores, Josh, the point that Steve and I were kind of using as our game theme today was this Monmouth team building towards something, taking steps, progressing. We mentioned how they've won close games against good teams. They beat Canisius. Then they won a game Thursday in which they didn't have their best effort and still was able to win a game against Fairfield, not playing well offensively. And now we're making the point that the next step is winning on the road in the league at a good team. Thought that was tailor-made this afternoon, but Ryder has just come out and shown why they're a top five team in the league, and their sights are set even higher.
I actually wrote that on the blog this morning. You know, Monmouth, for, you know, as well as they've played over the course of 19 games, they did not have that signature road win, and today was really that opportunity, and it's just not happening right now. As you said, you know, you go through, you know, Iona, Manhattan, Canisius, Quinnipiac, but Ryder is, you know, on the top of that next tier, you know, a team that is dangerous, an older team, a team that you really, you can't forget about them as we head towards February and ultimately as we head towards March.
And obviously all working towards that MAC Conference Tournament, which begins Thursday, March 6th. That's up in Springfield, Massachusetts at the Mass Mutual Center. As we'll now run through our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard here at halftime. Again, Monmouth trails 37-20. Our out-of-town scoreboard presented by Coca-Cola Zero. Coke Zero, enjoy everything. Earlier today, Siena won at Fairfield, 64-56. Gentlemen, interesting matchup. Monmouth has defeated both of those teams, but guys, Siena seems to be trending upward as Jimmy Patsos, year one up there, doesn't have his players. But Josh, your thoughts first. That's a team that Monmouth was tied with coming into today that maybe could make some noise moving later in the season.
I think when Jimmy Patsos took that job, I think everybody who has followed his career and knows what he's about, even though he doesn't have his kids yet, I feel like anybody who's followed Jimmy Patsos knew that he would get those kids trending upwards very, very quickly. And, you know, Monmouth caught them, you know, early in the season still. They hadn't really come together fully. And now, you know, they're 5-5 in the MAC. That's one of, I don't even want to call it a big surprise because, again, it's Jimmy Patsos. But, you know, Siena at 5-5, that's another dangerous team who plays defense, another team that, you know, that can't really be overlooked.
In overtime, Quinnipiac defeated Manhattan in Riverdale 90-86. Steve, that's kind of the opposite of what we have, at least scoring-wise today. We've talked about this Quinnipiac team made the jump with Monmouth from the NEC. They have just gone in and fit right into the upper tier of this league, and that's a big-time win on the road. Manhattan struggling right now.
I think Quinnipiac has a huge chance to win the MAC, and we know what's going to happen with them inside. We know they're going to rebound. We know they have big-time players in the front court. I think what's going to determine their run in March is going to be the play of Umar Shannon. We said this before on a broadcast. I think he was a tremendous transfer for Quinnipiac and really brought to their team exactly what they needed. It's really going to depend on how Shannon and Hurst play on the outside.
In another game back in this state, in the Garden State up north, St. Peter's fell in Jersey City to Iona 71-63. They battled the Gales in that one, but Josh, a team that Monmouth has yet to see at all, really either of those teams, but Iona is kind of that giant that is looming for MU. They only scored 71. We all know they can go for 100 or more in a given game, and they just have shooters for days.
All day. You know, if they're down, and they have been down 15, 20, a team like that, they could make that up like that. As you said, they'll score. They're going up and down, up and down. They're going to shoot early in the shot clock. They've dropped 118 on Niagara earlier this year. Even though their defense has not really been up to snuff, a team like that is extremely dangerous just because they will outscore everybody.
The last score from earlier today, Canisius defeated Marist 78-65 in a game up in Buffalo. We have yet to see Marist, and Steve, we've seen Canisius twice. Monmouth got the miracle win last Sunday against them. They're a team, we all would agree, primed for a run, if for no other reason they can shoot it as well, and they combine that with probably the smartest and best player in the league in Billy Barron.
Anytime you have four players who shoot 40% from three, you have a chance to make a run if those guys get hot. And Zach Lewis, a freshman, really got it going against Monmouth in the game at Canisius. If he keeps playing better and better, they have a lot of guys who can score. Billy Barron, obviously, Chris Perez on the outside. And then a big part of their team also is Jordan Heath shooting from the outside, but also blocking a lot of shots. Their one issue, though, is that they don't really score from the inside that much. And I wonder if that's going to catch up to them at all in March. If they catch a cold shooting night, that could be a trouble for them.
Monmouth Trails Rider here, 37-20. We'd like to thank our friend Josh Newman for joining us at halftime. Catch Josh's great work tonight on APP.com. Check out the Hawks Nest blog and as well as his game story in tomorrow's edition. Josh, as always, sir, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you having me, guys.
Monmouth beat writer Josh Newman joining us from the Asbury Park Press. Steve and I will take a 2-minute timeout, and we'll bring it back courtside here on your home for the Hawks, the Shore Sports Network. And we welcome you back as we wind down our halftime show, which is presented by the good people at Surf Taco. Surf Taco, good food, good people, and good vibe. Monmouth trailing 37-20 here at halftime to the host, Ryder Bronx, as we'll take a closer look at our first half statistics. Again, the high man in the game, Daniel Stewart, 14 points, 5 of 7 shooting. Ryder, 45% from the floor. They hit 5 of 16 threes, 6 of 8 from the line, and out-rebounded MU in that first half, 22-16. Monmouth was led by Andrew Nicholas's 5 points, 4 points apiece for Josh James and Tyrone O'Garo. The Hawks didn't get a lot of scoring, but they kind of spaced it out as they shoot 33 1/3%. They go 1 of 8 from three. The more alarming trend, 3 of 9 from the foul line. The Hawks committed 8 turnovers compared to only 4 assists. Ryder, 10 assists, 7 turnovers. The Bronx outscored MU in the paint 17-14. And off of turnovers, that's a difference. The Bronx outscored MU 10-2.